Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and I am not only coming at you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but I am actually coming at you live online. We are streaming in the Zoom webinar, and I am trying to also stream on the Facebook, and I hope that it's working. Can't really watch it because I'll lose place on my notes, what I'm trying to keep up with, but we are here with JB Fowler and Domotz. JB is the chief product officer, and I have been talking about this box that I got. I think the first one I got was about 3 months ago, finally, after looking around and playing with it and checking to see if I would like it or not. But I finally got it and decided I need to have these guys on the show, and hopefully they can teach me a little more about it. So that's why I have you here, JB. How are you?
I am doing very well, Marvin. Thank you. I'm actually very excited to be here, and I'm excited to talk about the experience you've had with Domotes, as well as, you know, talk a little bit more about some of the details of Domotes, and hopefully we can both learn some stuff here.
All right. So I know that you've done a couple of other podcasts, and you guys have been out and about, and the MSPs are starting to get to know you a little bit more, IT professionals, and of course, I'm going to try to get you to anybody out there, because solo techs, MSPs, anybody that's doing networking, I think could benefit from using this device. So before we dive into all the technical GUI stuff, why don't we first, for people that don't know, tell us what Domotes is.
Okay. So Domotes, we pride ourselves on being a remote network monitoring and management tool. Really, our tagline is that we're looking at an RMM tool for the IoT world that is out there. We differentiate ourselves from traditional RMMs. When I say traditional RMMs, I think of guys like ConnectWise, SolarWinds, Datto, even Kaseya, right? Ninja RMM. There's a plethora of traditional RMMs, which primarily focus on as they call them, endpoints, but I think of them as PCs, laptops, servers, you know, really the computers that are on the network. We actually stay away from those. What we focus on, but we can talk about how we see them, of course, but what we focus on is the rest of all the devices on the network. That includes the network infrastructure itself, so managed switches, firewalls, routers, access points, wireless access points. But then we look at all the other systems that are out there. So that includes everything from security cameras and access control systems to even automation systems to unified communications and voice over IP technologies. Those are all the systems that systems integrators, managed service providers, IT departments are all having to deal with now. And what we do is we really provide insight into what those systems are. And then the other thing is we provide secure remote connectivity into those systems. And I think we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail.
Yep. All right. So let me give a quick little story just to tell you how I got involved. So I have been using for the last couple of years a box like this called the Oversee. Sure. And it does some of the same stuff. And it was from a vendor where I was getting some other devices from, Wattbox and Arachnus switches, and these products all tied together. And it basically would monitor those devices. And I was, you know, supposed to be able to, you know, get to other devices, and it was supposed to send me alerts and stuff like that. And it did okay for the most part. And I'm somebody who, when I find something, I don't change very quickly. I don't run after the, you know, the big shiny thing that's running down the street. I, you know, want to do a little research first.
Yeah.
So I had heard of Domotes a couple years ago. I heard a couple of podcasts about it, and I said, okay, I think it's time for me to take a look at it. So I went and got my first box off Amazon and liked it. And then I saw that, oh, you can just install the agent and put it on whatever device you like, a Windows machine, a Raspberry Pi. So this is a whole nother show, but I bought myself a Raspberry Pi because I thought, oh, I can kill two birds with one stone. I would learn Raspberry because I don't know it, and I would be able to do an agent. And the reason I did that is because I didn't want my customers to see the Domotes label on the box and then do some research and try to figure out, oh, well, they'll just do it themselves, because I have a couple of customers that would do that. Then you guys told me, oh, wait, we can brand it for you. So I now have these boxes with my logo on it, and I like it. So
You know, it's interesting the path that you've gone down there, Marvin, because one of the things to recognize with respect to Domotes is that Domotes is really meant to be a tool, right? It's a software as a service, right? We're a cloud-based service, but it's a tool for service providers, and it's a tool for systems integrators. And our perspective on that, you know, while we're proud of the Domotes brand and we think it's great and we're making a lot of, you know, noise in the industry and people are getting to know it, in my humble opinion, it's not about our brand, right? We are providing a tool for you guys. I want service providers to know what Domotes is, but it's not about your end clients knowing about Domotes. Just like you may not tell them that you're using ConnectWise, or you may not tell them you're using Datto or MSP or Synchro MSP, right? For them, it's about the solution that you are providing to them. It's about the proactive monitoring that you do. It's about being able to service them quickly. How you do that, with what tools you use to do that, that's really your business. And we believe that you're going to choose the appropriate tools that help you. Of course, we want it to be us, right? We're showing you how we can be more efficient and help you. But the reason that we, one, offer our agent up as an open source agent, by the way, it's just one agent that gets installed on a network. But the reason we make it available to be put on a server or put on a Raspberry Pi or even run on a NAS drive like a Synology or QNAP or ReadyNAS drive is because we're trying to make it flexible for you to install what you want. That black box that you showed, right, that Domotes agent, the one that's available through either Amazon or, like you said, if somebody comes to us and we can customize it for them, we do that because with that black box, because it's about ease of install. Some people don't want to take the time to go and spin up a virtual machine on a server or have a dedicated Nook or Windows machine to run that agent. So we've made that black box easily available for that purpose.
Well, and it's the whole idea of not only do I have to provide the resources or the, you know, box myself and then configure it and do all that stuff. You know, the money that I was saving by buying a Raspberry Pi, I wasn't saving.
Yeah, it's true. So, it's true. And let me give my little, call it a soapbox about the Raspberry Pis. I think the Raspberry Pis themselves are very useful. They're fun to play with. I think they're a good hobby product by all means. But where I struggle a little bit with the Raspberry Pi is that if you're putting that into a business, somebody's business where you're dealing with, say, mission critical systems, I would hate for that Raspberry Pi to be the weak link in that system. So one of the challenges that Raspberry Pis have had in the past are things like SD cards failing. SD cards are not the most robust memory storage devices. They work well for doing quick things, you know, taking pictures, getting images off, putting them back on, things of that nature. But if you're trying to read and write to them continuously through a system or an application like Domotes, they aren't as robust as they should be. So what we did is, you know, we essentially took the basis of what's called an Orange Pi system, another Raspberry Pi-like variant, but we hardened it We put gigabit networking in it. We put NAND flash in it and got rid of the notion of an SD card. And that's essentially what gives you that black box. The other thing I'll point out with these different variants of these agents, so you can get Debian packages, you can get Ubuntu, you can do Windows as well. The nice thing about that black box that we have, it's actually running an operating system known as Ubuntu Core. So for anybody that's familiar with that, they may recognize that Ubuntu Core was actually developed really for the IoT world. The principle behind it is that we at Domos own that kernel that we have running on that. We've essentially productized it, but it allows us to do real-time updates to not only the application, but also to the kernel. So if there ever was a vulnerability exposed inside Linux or inside that operating system, we can actually push to tens of thousands of agents and boxes out there within a matter of hours, a new update. So it's really kind of amazing.
Okay, great. So this is not a referendum on Raspberry Pi. I'm still going to try to learn it. So if anybody is listening or watching and says, Marvin, you're an idiot, let me show you how to use the Pi, feel free to send me an email and we'll do that at some point. But I like the ability to just get a box, install it. And one of the things that really is nice about this pretty much will start discovering right away. And I've got a tool with the NetAlly OneTouch that when I bring it on site and I plug it in, it will give me, you know, network testing and a whole bunch of stuff. And my goodness, my lighting is horrible. I didn't notice that.
I think the sun is starting to come through your shades there.
Yeah, I'll see if I can fix that in a minute here. But it starts discovering things right away. And it has a very good database of not only discovering things, you know, IP addresses, MAC addresses, but it can identify a lot of those things, you know, from desktops to servers to network switches and all of that stuff.
You are correct. So Domotes leverages a technology that we acquired a couple of years ago. And that technology is from a company called Fing, F-I-N-G. Fing was recognized as, or many people will recognize Fing as a mobile network analyzer, something that sits on their Android or iOS devices. When you connect it to the network, it will scan that network and it'll come back. It'll recognize all the MAC addresses that are there. But then through crowdsourcing, what it has the ability to do is associate that MAC address with not only the manufacturer, but also the make, model, the type of that device, and it provides classification. So when it comes to type, we're telling you that it's, you know, a security camera, it's an automation system, it's a smart display. We leverage that technology inside Domotes because, and one of the things that's different between Domotes and Fing is while Fing is in a mobile application or even a PC application, it's not continuously scanning with the app. Domotes is actually continuously scanning 24/7 and enriching that data that we find. So.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm sorry. I'm still playing with my colors and wow, it is, don't know what happened there. This is my...
Clearly the sun is setting in your in Florida there.
Okay, so 4 p.m. is probably not a good time for me to do a live show unless I change my office location. that is strange. Or don't be a black man with a white background. I guess that's another thing to change. All right, we'll just play with that along. So why don't we do this? If you can go ahead and pull up your demo there, we'll go into some of the features and stuff. And I know that I've got my dashboard up and I'll pop in there a couple of times too. But, we talked about the fact that it goes out and starts finding devices, starts categorizing them and all of the things that you can do in kind of like a baby RMM feature is, you know, set up alerts. So you can, you know, figure out which devices are going to be important that if they go offline, you'll know about it. When they come online, you'll know about it. There's some eyes features. We can talk about that as well, but tell us about some of the core features in the Domo's bosses.
Definitely, I can do that. I mean, one thing to recognize, you know, as a tool, and the reason that we created this tool is really to help service providers be more operationally efficient. And so that's the thing. That's one of the very first things that we strive for. And we'll talk about the features within the application that we do for that. The second thing is really around proactive monitoring. Proactive monitoring to us is how do we get away from a break-fix model, meaning that when your customer, you know, when you get the phone call from your customer that something's not working the way you expect, that's a horrible type of phone call, because all of a sudden the issue becomes priority one. You have to drop what you're doing and you need to fix that particular site. What we want to do is create a tool that allows you to better understand the status of all your clients that you have in a single dashboard, and then be able to prioritize and associate your time with what the needs and priorities are of your different clients. So this view that I'm showing here is very much a what we call a NOC-like view, so Network Operations Center type of view. The idea behind this is it's a multi-tenant view. So when we talked before about network agents, or the black box that you showed, or that agent that you install one time on a network or in one location, that gets referenced as one of these dots. Very simple, easy to see, red, yellow, green type of status. Red meaning that the site is offline. It could be because of a power outage, could be because the internet service provider is down. It could be that somebody unplugged the cable. It just means that the agent itself is not communicating with the Domo's cloud servers. When one of these dots are green, means really the site is functioning as expected. There's no important devices that we see as offline, and the agent is operating as we would want it to. When it's yellow, that's when it gets interesting. It's a significant, or there could be significant issues on there. Could be a security issues as shown by this dot and my house, which I'll show you. Or it could be that important devices are offline at this point in time, as shown by the Draper office, right, where it says three devices are offline. So we'll go into these. The one thing I want to say about this NOC view before I get out of this is it is a very multi-tenant view. So you can have tens, hundreds, even thousands of agents deployed, and they'll all show up in this NOC in a fairly easy to understand way. When we dive into an agent, okay, we're looking at the agent's dashboard itself now. Now what we're doing is seeing what's going on at that site or on that network that we're monitoring right now. A couple of things to note from, you know, a technical aspect, the way this works. So I'm sitting in my office here. My laptop is securely connected to the Domo's cloud. So any information that's being passed between the Domo's agent and my laptop right now is being done through secure encrypted transmissions to the Domo's app that's running here. Even if I'm running on, if I'm using our web page or our web application through a browser, we're using things like HTTPS and we're doing secure communications. From the cloud back into that agent, which is sitting in this case at my house, or I can show you the Draper office where I'm located now, all of those transactions are also secure and encrypted in a different way. You had mentioned, and let me talk a little bit about how the agent works here, Marvin.
Okay.
The first thing that happens when you install that network agent and you associate it to your account, the very first thing it does is it starts to scan the network. And it comes back with all of the MAC addresses that are associated with that particular network. The only thing that you really need to do at that point, once it's seen the MAC addresses, use that Fing database to enrich all that data, is really put down information like the location. So in this case, in a home, I'm in the game room, but even if I were to click on this PC here, you can scroll down here and you can put like the zone, right? In the case of a business, you may put the floor that it's on. You may put the site, the building that it's in, building A, building B, and then, of course, a location, especially if it's a conference room or something of that nature. That's the only thing that you really have to do in this first part of the discovery. And this is really just useful. The zone and location information is really just useful if you want to look at the complete list and know where things are. So this is first and foremost. I think you can be seeing this as an asset tool to understand all of the different types of devices that are sitting on your network. We see a lot of our customers will use this functionality simply for discovering, especially if they're going into a new client and trying to understand what is it that I can do for this client? How can I help them? But, you know, it's more than about more than just being about PCs and laptops now, or even the network. Now you can start looking at security cameras. You can start looking at monitoring the health of these cameras, making sure that they're online. You can also monitor access control systems, making sure that they're functioning the way they expect. So does that give you an idea of at least the start of the process here, Marvin? And
yeah. How it works? And I will say that for anybody listening, don't think that this is going to be absolutely 100%. It'll identify everything exactly as it should, because I have noticed that there are some devices that are in the wrong category. And so you may have to do a little bit of tweaking. Sometimes the servers recognize as a desktop, yes. Vice versa. So just like with any scanning device, you're going to have to go through and verify what you see.
Absolutely. And there are instances, you know, Domotes and Fing both, right? So we're both sister companies. You know, we're continuing to learn and adapt. And here's a great example where, you know, a MAC address was shown, but we didn't actually put the model and type on it. But we do know that it was registered to Amazon.
Right.
So this gives some indication as to what this is. This is likely like a Fire tablet or something of that nature. In fact, if you click on this, it's not online right now. But yeah, see, there's no other Bonjour or MDNS information coming from this particular device. But in the case of virtual machines, in the case of when you spin up servers, a lot of times those will just get recognized as a MAC address and an IP address, and you do have to do some interrogation. What we do within Domotes and Fing, leveraging the crowdsourcing information, as people start to associate MAC addresses with particular devices, then we start to learn and adapt to what's out there. And the more devices that we have input through this means of crowdsourcing, the more accurate that our system becomes. And part of the reason that we wouldn't take this device and put a make and model onto it is because we may not have enough confidence within our algorithms to be able to feel good about placing a name on there. Because we'd rather somebody enter it themselves than be completely wrong about it. Okay. So that's what we try to do.
All right. And just one other thing, and I'm sorry because we don't have a script that I'm following, yeah. But the other thing I like is that column on the left there that talks about the last status, the last time it was on the network, is a great feature that I've actually just used a couple of times with a client that was trying to track some iPads. And, you know, I had this all set up and I could tell them, okay, no, you had 5 iPads that haven't been here for a week. So here they are.
Yeah. It's actually a few things with respect to the fact. This is one of my sons. They have an iPad here, Mr. Happy. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can see here that we actually can see how often this device within a 24-hour period is going on and off the network. Mm. And this whole section, just so you know, this whole section that I'm looking at are all devices that are not associated to a room or location. Most of these are friends' laptops that came in, you know, they left. But this iPad here, you can see that it's actually online right now. It just came online, but it probably is, my son may be using it to watch YouTube or whatever, but you can see that it's gone on and offline 99 times within the last 24 hours. That's a very common, it's actually probably more than 99, but that's very common with mobile devices or any low power Wi-Fi type device.
Okay.
Yep. It can be used for, this gets used for, I see businesses using this all the time, especially with point of sale systems. So if they've got mobile point of sale systems, you're out in front of, say, a Chick-fil-A or something where the people are coming out to your car, they are out there with mobile Wi-Fi devices. So this can be used to help track the status of those and see how often they're coming on and offline.
Okay. All right.
Is it, Marvin, I think it's probably worthwhile to talk now about some of the connectivity and go a little bit deeper into the devices, okay, if you're okay with that.
But you drive.
Okay. So now that we've discovered all the devices and we've seen them, we actually go a little bit further and we start to look at the network itself. So when we discover that a network switch is on there, in fact, let me just bring up the topology right off the bat. What we do is we start to, when we see that there are managed switches on the network that are following various protocols like RFC 4188, we can actually interrogate those switches through SNMP and start to understand how all of those devices that we've discovered are connected to that switch. Whether it's through a physical port itself, we can also see if they're Wi-Fi devices and if they're connected to wireless devices. So let's just take switch number two here that's on this network. What we can see here is when we go to the interfaces tab, we can see exactly of these devices that we've discovered, what ports they're connected to. We can see when it's a PoE-based device, how the power is associated to that, how much power is being drawn by that device. And more importantly, we can actually power cycle these devices here. And we'll talk about how we can also power outlets through a power distribution unit. But one of the very common ways of, I'm going to say, managing a system is if it's not working, it's to power cycle it. We give you the ability that if a system goes offline or stops communicating on the network, that if it's an emergency situation where you need to just power cycle it and see if that thing comes back online before you do a truck roll, that's something that can be done right here in the Domotes interface. And we have it all mapped right here for you.
And the nice thing is, with some of my other devices, like the one I showed earlier, you'd have to power cycle the entire switch. Here, you can just do the port.
The individual ports, exactly. Exactly right. In fact, we go as far as, this is an OnViv-based security camera. We'll talk about this in a minute. But we can go as far as showing for every single port, what is the average bandwidth across that port? Now, this is information as seen by the switch, because the Domotes agent is interrogating the switch over SNMP and showing this type of data. But it really does give you good feedback on how a particular device is performing. This particular camera, I would expect it to be continuously streaming 1 to 2 megabits of data on a regular basis, since it's a security camera and it should be up all the time. But here you can see how we look at that.
Okay.
Beck, speaking of cameras, let me take a quick segue and show what we can do with respect to these cameras. So let's go to a more interesting camera. I think if we filter out here, so where'd my cameras go? Nope, I think I want to be
That's
in this
big
one.
Map.
Yeah. I have a lot of, this is why I show my house. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to technology.
That's all at your house?
That is my house.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a lot of devices in my house, which is
party at the Fowler's.
So this Northeast camera is kind of a nice one to look at. So I mentioned, just like when we interrogate network switches, we start to see what types of switches they are and they classify them. We do the same thing with cameras. So when we discover that a security camera or security cameras are on the network, we classify them as cameras and we report them back as OnViv-based cameras, or we check to see if they are OnViv-based cameras. For those that don't know or may not be familiar with this, OnViv is a protocol that security camera manufacturers and security NVR manufacturers have leveraged so that they can communicate outside of their own ecosystem. So this allows somebody to take like a Hikvision camera and work with a Leland NVR and have it all work. We take advantage of that to be able to show that we take advantage of that so we can actually grab a snapshot directly from that camera. Why is this important to you as a service provider? Well, for one, we're already monitoring the device to see that it's online, but now I can show you that it's actually functioning properly. I can show that it's streaming as expected, that it's pointed in the direction it's supposed to be, and it's behaving like you would want. This is a great way to add service to your clients and say that you're monitoring their cameras as well. So have you had a chance, Marvin, to look at this feature yet within Domotes?
So here's where I'm at with this, because this is another reason why I wanted to jump on board, is I have a customer, well, I have several that keep going to their own camera vendors. And we keep having those battles where they want to put their devices on the network and they want to do this and do that. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't I just do it? Yeah. And I can supply the cameras. I can supply, you know, they're on my network anyway. So I've not done a whole lot with it, but that's something that I'm looking to do. I do have it where one customer, I already have a box in place and I'm trying, I do have access to their DVR. So I'm trying to set up communication with the cameras. I just haven't gotten that far yet.
Yeah, understood. For me, whether you install this is one of the interesting things about security cameras. Many people that get a security system installed, especially with video security, they typically don't know whether the system is working or not until something happens. And then they go back to look at the NVR or the recordings to, you know, for whatever incident, just to find out that a camera was offline,
right,
or that it wasn't functioning in recording. This is a great way to, again, I think I mentioned this before, but being proactive with your customers and letting them know that things like this can happen where systems go offline and that you're there to help protect from that. I think there's a lot of value there and you can make money on that. One of the things that gets talked about as well is in regulated industries where cameras are required. This is a great way to add service to those types of industries, whether it's banking or agriculture or whatever it may be.
So, well, I'm looking at it as a way to take business away from the camera guy, because and you know, sorry, camera guys, but that's something, like I said, it's on my network. And if I can already know that it's offline, why don't I just contact the customer, and the customer gets to the point where they'll just contact me? Why, you know, why call the camera guy when Marvin already knows what he can see with the camera system?
It's an interesting point, Marvin. And one of the reasons that I think Domotes becomes so valuable as an add-on solution to the traditional RMM tools is because we're seeing this convergence of information technology, right? The guys who are installing networks and managing networks with security. We're seeing a convergence of IT with AV systems. So in retail establishments, you will find that the phone systems are all voice over IP.
Right.
You have unified communications through possibly video conferencing and those types of applications. You've got point of sale systems that are now on the network. You've got menu boards and digital signage that are all on the network. And you as a service provider, I think, need to have the tools in place to be able to manage those effectively. And that's where Domotes comes in. And I think it helps augment your business. So that's what that's why I think it's a good time to be thinking about.
And another thing I just figured out last week, although I got to find a list of OID codes, printer alerts. So you know, I can sell them the toner instead of them waiting to order from Office Depot or Amazon. So if anybody knows where a list of good OID codes are for all the printers out there, I would love it. I have a couple for the HPs. I've got those set up, but I've already set two of them up so that I get the email alerts. Hey, such and such toner is low, and I can send it out.
You can definitely do that. In fact, I'm not sure if our team modified this or not, but we had on this brother printer, we had SNMP alerts enabled. Doesn't look like we kept them on there, but you absolutely can go in and monitor the toner levels of printers and get alerts on those. Let's look at that here in a little bit more detail.
I think I did mine under, under the eyes? Yes, under the eyes, SNMP sensors. And then I just entered the black toner level with the correct OID for the printer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you do have to, as you said, you need to know the proper MIBs or the OIDs for those devices, but you absolutely can do that. In fact, let's go to, just pick a random device. It really doesn't matter. This PC is offline. Let's show a couple things here. So since it's offline, we won't be able to see this, but we can at least speak to it. One of the things with PCs and laptops that Domotes does, in fact, it's important to note that while we're scanning every single device that's on the network, we're also looking for which ports on that device are available for management. So commonly used ports, Telnet, SSH, right? So ports 21, 22, 23, port 80, port 443.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all of those types of ports are out there. In the case of remote desktop, you often see port 3389 that's there. So we're scanning for these, and when we see that, we make it available. Now, this laptop's not on, or this PC's not online, so it doesn't really, I can't actually do an RDP session with it right now. But one thing I want to show you is that we have the ability to create custom connections. So if there are custom ports that we don't have, we can get there. We can also create tunnels to these devices. But then what I wanted to talk about are these types of services that we can go and monitor. So generally, we can monitor if the device goes online or offline. That's very basic. Even if the IP address itself changes, we can monitor that.
Right.
But where it becomes really interesting, and this is important for IoT devices, not just PCs, but in some instances, I can manage whether the web page or remote desktop protocol is actually active on a particular system. And I can do that through these TCP services. To your point, Marvin, and when you get a little bit more advanced or you start to understand, okay, what are the OIDs associated with a Cisco switch such that I can read the temperature of that? Or if I want to look at the ink levels of a printer, that's where I would start to configure SNMP sensors and being able to add things like, for instance, let's just say yellow ink, not that that would happen on this particular device, but it's a consumable.
Right.
And I'll hit save. And then, of course, here's where I type that OID, 1.3, 2.14, whatever it is, right? So, and then I would put these values. Now what I can do, once I have that in there, is I have the ability to say, when this sensor gets above a certain value or below a certain value or equal to a particular string, then generate an alert. It's a great way to, again, be able to be proactive with your customers and know when you need to come out there and help them or when you need to go out and do a truck roll, rather than just going out blindly and finding out that, okay, they had plenty of black ink in that and I didn't need to bother with it.
Right. That is true. Beautiful.
Let me mention a couple things about alerts, since we were talking about proactive alerts.
Okay.
One of the things that I see a lot of service providers leveraging Domotes for is when new devices are discovered on the network. So, and I haven't mentioned this, but I hope, Marvin, you've been able to play with this. If you're dealing with a very flat network and you're dealing with just a single VLAN or a single subnet, then Domotes works just fine and it's all great. But you can also make it so that Domotes can see multiple VLANs and you can look across VLANs. This is really interesting for, again, let's go back to video security systems. If you have a video security system or an access control system on a separate VLAN because you don't want anybody messing with it, you probably also don't want any new devices to show up there randomly, because that could be an intruder, it could be somebody with malintent. Domotes can be scanning that network, looking for new devices on a regular basis, and then sending alerts to you when that occurs. A lot of integrators use that for making sure that things that are on the network are supposed to be there and things that aren't supposed to be on the network, you know, if they show up, you know, getting an alert and fixing that.
Yep. So I do know about the VLAN support, and that's on my list with a particular customer where we've got the LAN on one VLAN, we've got phones on another, we've got Wi-Fi, we've actually got three Wi-Fi VLANs, and they want to be able to know, because they had a little incident recently, and they want to know now if people are showing up after hours on any of these networks. And so that's one of the things I will set up.
So, you know, one of the things, so let's call it a mixed blessing and curse here, what I'm about to say.
Okay.
You certainly can monitor guest VLANs, right? Or guest networks, so to speak. If you have new device discovery set up on a guest network, you're going to get notifications every time there's a new iPhone the good news is it'll show up as, you know, Mr. Happy's iPad or JB's iPhone or whatever it is. But this can be used as a tool for after hours, right? Or, you know, during office hours, it should behave one way, and after hours, there should be nobody on it.
Right.
You can start to leverage this functionality for that.
So let me tell another quick story and another reason why I love this even more after I got it. So the first one I set up for a client that just moved to a new office. And I had in my documentation everything that was supposed to be on the network, from their switches, their desktops, and all their peripheral devices. Well, they got a new postage machine, but didn't tell me. And so about a week after they moved, a new device pops up on their network, and I didn't know what it was. The firm administrator, I called and asked, do you know what this is? And he's like, no. What do you think it is? I'm like, I don't know. It's a Texas instrument something. And he's like, just block it. So I blocked it. What happened is that for 2 weeks, the girls in the office were trying to use this postage machine, and it was not online. They contacted their internal help desk, who said, well, just move it to another port. And so they moved it to a port. It popped up again because I'd only blocked the port. Well, then I blocked the device.
Right.
And then for 2 weeks, they're moving this device around, and then they're calling Pitney Bowes, and Pitney Bowes was, well, you need a static IP and this and that. And so when they finally got around to letting me know that they needed help, I said, well, wait a minute. Is this device have this MAC address? And they're like, oh, yeah. I said, oh, we blocked that weeks ago.
That's funny. That's very funny. You know, a tool like Domotes gives you that discovery so that you can then go back to that company and say, or to your client, say, hey, this looks unusual, right? Let me help you. And clearly they need a process on their side to better understand what's being put on their network. But you did exactly what you did, and you limited their risk and exposure. Yeah.
And I asked them, it wasn't like I did it on my own or whatever. I said, look, do you know what this is? He said, no. He said, block it. I said, okay.
Yeah. Good. So, good.
All right.
Well, speaking of blocking, let me show something here, which I think a lot of your listeners may be interested in hearing about or seeing. One of the things that Domotes can do, and I have Luxel switches in my house here. What I can do is, and I mentioned this, right? We scan all these ports to see what's open. I do have the ability to remotely connect into these devices. Now, I'm using our desktop app, so I'm going to hit connection. What it's going to do is bring up a web page. So I'm going to have to unshare my app, and then I'll share that web page here. So bear with me a minute, Marvin. So let me go to Zoom. Go to... Uh-oh, Marvin, where'd my sharing go?
And just so you know, I'm doing the same thing with one of my customers where I'm connecting into their switch. And basically, this works like any RMM where you've got access to, you know, the desktops. We didn't have to install, like you said, an agent. We didn't have to program anything. And I didn't have to VPN into the site. It's all done through the Domotes box.
That's right. That's right. In fact, I talked before about the secure connectivity between the laptop and the cloud, and then the cloud back into the agent. You'll notice that this URL that is in my browser now is unique. It's a unique URL that only works with my laptop. So even if I were to copy that URL to a colleague next to me or somebody in my office, even under the same WAN IP address, it would not work. Oh. And we pride ourselves on the secure connectivity within Domotes. In fact, we do things to make sure that, you know, it is you, right, or one of your team members that is getting on the system, implementing things like multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication, things of that nature. Right. So just so you know, what you see here now, or what the audience that's watching sees, is I'm actually in the configuration webpage for the switch that's on in my house. So now I can, I can go make adjustments as appropriately. One thing that we do have coming within the next couple of weeks is actually the ability to get alerts on when the configuration of the switches actually change, which is going to be really cool. And by the way, this isn't just a Luxel thing. It works with Cisco. It works with HP, Extreme Networks, Netgear. I mean, name your switch as long as they follow the RFC protocols. Or RFC standards that are out there, we will be able to see their systems and it'll all work the same. Yep, That's often a question that comes up.
Well, I can verify that. I've got HP and Arachnus network switches, and I'm in the Arachnus right now. So,
yeah, great. That's perfect. Yep. So, it just gives you an idea. Let me stop sharing this and we'll go back to the application.
Oh, man. I look weird.
It looks better than what it did before. Yeah, I think true. The sun went down a little more. So, you know, Marvin, have you had a chance to use the import export feature of the Domotes desktop application?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know there was one.
So let me show you. This is actually a very cool feature. This is something that's only available on the desktop app, whether you're on a Mac or Windows, but when you go to the device list page, and you notice I have hundreds of devices here. Actually, it shows 174 mm-hmm. IP devices, but many of those are offline because they were wireless. But at the top, and you may not see it, but in the menu bar for the application, there is an import-export feature. So if I do export devices list, okay, and again, I'm going to have to probably stop sharing, but here it'll save to my desktop. What will happen? I'm going to close this. So I'm going to open this in Excel. So let me hit stop share again. Bear with me while Excel opens up. And then I will show you what Excel is showing. So here you see an exported list of all the devices that are registered under this Domotes agent.
Oh.
You see the name, the IP addresses, the MAC addresses, the types of the devices, really all the information that we've discovered, we put it into an Excel file. The reason that this is so powerful, in fact, here's a great example. You'll notice the location. All of these are the wireless devices that don't have a location. Hmm. But if I wanted to take and filter out devices, I like to, let's see, take the type. I haven't done this in a while. Let's just look at all the devices that are appliances. So I have two, right, LG dryer and washer that are in my house that are connected
Hang on. I'm sorry. This is going to be a huge left turn. Your washer and dryer are on your network.
They are indeed.
Why?
Yeah. Why? Well, it's really so that I can have another Wi-Fi gadget attached to my network. Okay. I will say this, LG sends me notifications like once a month saying I need to clean my washer. I think it's their way of getting me to buy, you know, some sort of cleaner for them. I don't know. But I do kind of like the fact that it tells me when the laundry is done and then I can go change it out. So,
okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
You can't have a buzzer like everybody else.
Let's get off that topic. All right. So, for instance, if I wanted to do a mass update of all of the devices I cared about, I can use Excel to change the importance level of these. So I can now go in and change this to true, and I could, you know, change the zone or the location if I wanted to, save it. And then what I can do after I saved it is I can re-import it back into the Domotes application, which I realize I need to share again.
Interesting.
But then it will automatically make those changes for me. And I don't have to go through the Domotes user interface to do all that.
Very interesting. So I could have used that this past weekend when I was updating all of the iPads for the customer and I was doing it individually.
Absolutely.
In the app.
Right. If you wanted to filter, if they were iPads, right? If you wanted to filter by Apple as a manufacturer and then go do those updates, save it, it'll re-import for you. And it just makes it a little easier. So I look at this as being a great tool when you're first getting set up and configured with your customers. So I wanted to make sure you guys were aware of that. It's a little tip and trick that I think is extremely useful.
So since we're on that real quick, I had a question where currently right now, if you go in and you do your filtering and all of that, you can see the number of total devices, the number online, the number offline. You can filter by, you know, type or category.
Mm-hmm.
However, one thing that I would love, and I don't know if this is on your roadmap or not, but for each type, for instance, on this one I'm looking at, I've got cameras, but and desktops. Is there a way to get like a real-time count of, you know, those types and those categories? So if I'm looking at desktops, you know, it'll tell me how many desktops I have as opposed to just the list.
So within, and you're saying within the application,
yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
So I want to tell you that a new dashboard is on our roadmap.
Okay.
One of the things, and when you look at how we got started and how Domotes came about since 2016, we really tried to create a dashboard that somebody who is not a networking expert could utilize. And I think we did a pretty good job of creating something that simplified. But what we found out is that for more technically advanced systems integrators and more technically advanced managed service providers that already use traditional RMM tools, our user interface is a little too simplified.
Hmm.
Okay. And what we want to do, and also there's this multi-tenant aspect to it. You know, here I'm in a dashboard where I'm looking at one site and one site only. I know that a lot of integrators want to look at all the PCs that they have across all their sites in a single view. And we are working on a dashboard that's going to get there. I feel comfortable saying that by the end of this year, that to me sounds like a long time, but it goes by fast. By the end of this year, we're going to have another dashboard that helps with this.
Okay.
And Marvin, one thing I want to point out too is that for those that are a little bit more technically advanced, everything in our user interface, everything that I'm showing you here, whether it's from the NOC view all the way down into the dashboards, are all based off of publicly available APIs. So if you have a tool already and you want to just bring this information that we're gathering into that tool, or if you want to create your own view through a web page, you can do that today.
Okay, I'm not going to do that.
I understand. I can understand.
But I guess, yeah, if somebody, you know, wants to do that and create a custom dashboard, that I could see that being great, especially the multi-tenant view. And that's where, again, one of the things I've liked about this as opposed to the others, I don't have to go out and back in to see a different tenant. I can do all of it from the dashboard. And you mentioned the ability to be able to see devices across tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if I want to see how many of a certain model for all my clients, that would be great to do.
Yes. And that is absolutely something that we are working on. And I, from my product manager side in me, that's important to me that we get that.
Okay. Yeah. Now, another thing in the feature list that I saw is that this says unlimited devices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that really unlimited? I'm assuming there's unlimited. A theoretical.
Yeah, how do you define unlimited, really?
My cell phone is supposed to be unlimited, but then they cap me at a certain level.
Yeah, so let me explain a little bit about what we do. I mean, first of all, I mentioned that we require one network agent per site, right? That network agent runs at $19 per month, right? And that is just a flat fee. That is not per device. That's not per device on the network. That's not per infrastructure device. That is just a flat $19 per network agent. We do say that it has unlimited devices. There's a practical limitation, though, that I want to talk about. And that has to do with how we scan the networks. So I mentioned Fing before and what we do. We artificially limit our network agents to a slash 22 CIDR.
Okay.
That gives you 1,024 devices per VLAN that you can monitor. The reason that we do that is when we issue an ARP request to go figure out, okay, who's online, come back and talk to me, right? Send me back your information. If we were on, say, a slash 16 and doing that, and there were indeed, 16,000 or 65,000 devices out there, it would just flood the network. Right. And it would not be good for anybody. So we've limited this to a slash 22 so that we don't bog down the network with how we do our scanning and how we do our pinging. But within a single agent, you absolutely can monitor multiple VLANs, or you can create, let's call them levels of subnets that you're monitoring, giving you the ability to scale beyond that 1,024, even though you may be on a large flat network.
Okay.
And we have white papers and knowledge base articles on domotes.com to be able to, that talks about how we do that and helps you set it up.
Okay. All right. Now, the other thing I was looking at something when you talked about the number of devices, and we talked about this is real-time scanning. And one thing that I liked about this is when I put the Domotes box up against my other box, when something would go offline, there was a lag of 15, 20 minutes before it actually notified me. The Domotes was pretty quick. Within a minute or two, I found out. So the frequency of the scanning is how often?
So with respect to the agent itself and making sure that the Domotes agent is communicating with the cloud, okay, because there's so much variability there, really it's anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes,
okay,
with the network agent. But with an individual device, and I wanted to just, I'll just pick this iPad here. What you see is mobile devices by default are set up to 10-minute windows. But if I go back and if I look at a more important device, or let's say cameras, so I can click on this camera, you'll notice that we set it to every 30 seconds. This is the minimum that we do for checking online, offline status of devices. You can click the settings buttons and you can do custom windows. This becomes very important in an IoT world with devices that are low power Wi-Fi devices. So for instance, smart displays, you may not want to be checking every 2 minutes,
right,
because of the way they work. In a residential world, you don't want to do this with Nest thermostats or things. You want to have a window, like let's say every 2 hours, because they may go offline. And if there's no activity in front of them, they won't come back online for quite a while until they need to. So we give you the flexibility to be able to change how often you're reporting. One thing I want to point out is with respect to SNMP sensors, you also can vary how often you're pinging those. You can do it once every 2 minutes all the way up to once every 30 minutes if you wanted to, depending on what you're trying to do. You
right.
probably don't need to check, the yellow toner cartridge in a printer every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I left that to 30 minutes.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Okay. Have we hit pretty much all the big features? I mean, that was a lot there.
We've talked about a lot. The couple of things that I want to just briefly mention, we've talked about the topology and how we do the discovery. We've talked about connecting directly to a device. I do want to point out that Domotes can also implement VPN on demand. The beauty of, everybody, all of our listeners here know what VPN is and how to use it. You guys also know that you can go into your router or firewall and set up, VPN servers and put in username and passwords. The advantage of leveraging Domotes to do this is that you're taking care of your team members that you have and allowing them access through VPN on demand so that it's known who it is, and you're not putting common username and passwords out there. The other thing is that when you go through Domotes, it gets logged. Okay, so you can actually see which users logged into which systems and at what times. By the way, you can generate reports on what you see and who think you, what devices are on the network, how often they've gotten on and off the network, and you can have that so you can send it to your clients. By the way, at the very beginning, we talked about branding. Mm-hmm. And you guys probably noticed that I had this little image of Cool Cat up here. That's just a logo that I copied and pasted. Marvin, you should take and put your MB Systems logo up
here. Actually, it is. It's already there.
Good. That logo also gets generated in those custom reports too, automatically for you. So I wanted to touch on that. And then lastly, the thing I'll say, and I really don't believe that managed service providers necessarily need this functionality, because you guys should be aware of this, but there's a couple of really cool features here. And that is, under the security tab, what we're doing is we call it perimeter scanning. We're looking to see from our cloud back into the firewall and the router, are ports open? And if they are, we want to generate an alert and make you aware that there's a particular port open. Now, you may know that it's open. You may know why it's open. And if that's the case, just accept it. But if you don't know that it's there, it kind of gives you a flag to say, hey, maybe I should check what's going on here and see either what my client did or what system they put on there where it needed a port open. Likewise, we look from the inside out to see if things like UPnP is enabled. And if it is enabled and a device is trying to use it, we flag that. My recommendation from best cybersecurity practices is just disable UPnP. Systems don't need it nowadays. But you'll notice this other bucket. This is actually a beta feature.
I had a question about that.
Yeah, this is a beta feature right now. What we have is, with the database of devices that we have, we have the ability to see, what are their default username and passwords, and we can check against that. This is in beta right now because there's a lot of challenges associated with doing this, but this is something that we think is really important. And Marvin, you can imagine that if I had a port open on my WAN side that was going to a device with a common or a default username and password, that right there is a massive cybersecurity hole. What we want to do is just bring awareness to you as a service provider that says, hey, we see this, you may want to go check it out, right? So,
well, that's something that I noticed right off. So for those that aren't watching the video, one of the tabs in the dashboard is this network security, where there's a TCP open port scanner and a UPnP port forwarding scanner. And what I don't have on my dashboard is this default password section, which I just finished a questionnaire for a company that I do sub work for. 212 questions, by the way.
Yes.
And a ton of them were, do you have default passwords changed on all your network devices, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. This right here would have been awesome, where I could have just clicked it and said, yep, and put a screenshot with it saying, here's the proof.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's absolutely a beta. That's coming out.
Our hope is that it comes out by the end of this year.
Okay.
It's a fairly complex topic, because we have to be able to check default username and passwords across all the known ports that we would look at. For instance, Telnet, SSH, port 80, But what we don't want to do is cause issues where systems lock you out.
Okay.
The other thing to be aware of course, is some of the California privacy acts that are coming about. A lot of these manufacturers are having to change their passwords by default anyway, on the first time you log in. And what we don't want to do is when we discover a device, if it hasn't actually been logged in yet, we don't want to mess up that system. So those are some of the things that we're working through and validating before we implement this into production.
Okay. So that we're over, by the way, but I want to keep going because I have more questions. So there's a thing where I was trying to get access not only to some of my managed switches, but to my wireless access points. And sometimes when you click on them, it asks you for the password to get more insight into that.
Yes. Yes. So in devices, in fact, I can probably go show a particular device. I think I have a touch screen. Yeah, here's a great example. So on these touch screens, I don't have them unlocked. And there are some systems that in order to gain access to them, they need to be unlocked. So on these touch screens, if I were to click on them, and I don't remember the username and password, but if I were to hit unlock, I would need to type in what that device's username and password is in order to enable the various features that are there. For wireless access points, and I didn't talk about this in great detail, but if I have Ruckus wireless access points, like if I look at this WAP here, I had to unlock this WAP in order to gain features like this. So we do this for Meraki, we do it for Ubiquiti, and we do it for Ruckus right now. But I can see things like which clients are connected to this wireless access point. We can see things like which SSIDs they're on, what channels. We can even go as far as showing what their signal strengths are. So here you can see the RSSI value from this wireless device as seen from by the wireless access point. But I can also, if I go back one screen here, I can even look at the radios and see what their noise floors are because that's information that they provide. This is really valuable when all of a sudden a client calls you with complaints about how a device is dropping offline for some reason where it wasn't 3 months ago. Well, it could be because the next door neighbor or the office above you all of a sudden installed a new wireless access point on the same channel and they didn't do any sort of Wi-Spy or investigations about what radios are there and why. So this is a great tool for helping debug that. You do have to unlock those features with that username and password to allow Domotes access to those.
Well, funny you should mention Ruckus because that is how I came across this. And for this particular client, one of the things that I was able to do is when they called and said, hey, such and such is happening, I could log in through my Domotes and see, I can tell them right now, okay, well, you've got four clients connected to this SSID. And, you know, you can even go in and see who the clients are. I can tell them they've got, you know, oh, look at there. I'm sorry. This is real time. I see somebody who's not supposed to be there. Her device is still connected. So I wonder if she's working late. But, I mean, that's pretty in-depth stuff to get from this little box.
It really is. And, I mean, for a price of $19 per month, it's out there. There's a lot of value that it brings you as a service provider that you know. And my hope, of course, is that not only do we help eliminate truck rolls by giving you this type of visibility, but you can be proactively monitoring these different types of system, whether it is, you know, the wireless network or it is the security system or it is the access control system and the conference rooms. Right? Those are things that you can now start to charge for if you want to add more value. And being able to add more value to your clients. So we think that Domotes, as an add-on tool to the traditional RMM solutions that are out there, is just in my mind, it's a no-brainer. So,
yeah, right. So I had meant to kind of keep us on a schedule so that people that were in the Zoom room with us could ask questions and I think a couple of people have dropped off, and I don't know if I'm on the Facebook still or not, but I don't see anything there either. So I asked you the questions that I had already, didn't even wait for the Q&A, but in terms of getting a Domotes box, you had mentioned earlier, it's easy, and for probably 99%, you just go to Amazon and purchase the box, and I will put the link to Amazon so that if you want to support the show, you can use my link to get there and purchase the box. And then it doesn't activate or get charged until you turn it on, correct?
That's right. That's exactly right. Man, on Amazon, it's available for $99. I think if you go through the business side of Amazon, you get like a 5% discount or something. But you're right. It's easy to purchase that way. And you can install it when you're ready. It's also very easy to start an account. And you get a 21-day free trial on domotes.com. So if you haven't signed up before, I recommend you do that. Play with the demo that's there. And then by all means, once you get that agent and you activate it to your account within that 21 days, it'll amaze you what it can do.
All right. And just to go back, if you want to get it branded with your logo, there is a minimum. You've got to get 25 boxes.
25 units. Yep. Yeah. So there's a minimum order quantity of 25 units. And the best way to, if that's something that's interesting to, if it's of interest to you, reach out to sales@domotes.com.
All right.
Tell us that Marvin sent you too.
Okay. And not very expensive either. I mean, basically just the cost of printing.
Yep.
So pretty good there. Okay. So got that answered. You already talked about roadmap stuff. So a new dashboard coming out. And also
the, I think I mentioned, but being able to get alerts on the configuration files within the managed switches.
Yes.
That's actually a very powerful feature because inevitably we've all done this, right? We've gone to a job, we've set up the network, we've configured VLANs, we've left, we forgot to save it to the startup configuration. And so when a power cycle happened, things got lost. What we're wanting to do is alert you when the startup config and the running config are different, or when changes have been made.
Well, so the changes would be great for me because I've got a couple of sites where there's a junior on site. Mm. So some tech that's there who might be doing stuff that I don't know about. And it would be great to get those types of alerts if they're in the switch and they shouldn't be, or it'd be great if this was on the firewall or stuff like that. But all right. Well, JB, I want to thank you for coming on the show and doing this live podcast with me and being able to show your live demo with us.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, Marvin. I really appreciate it. This is great discussion, and I hope that a lot of your listeners see value out of what Domotes can do for them.
All right. Well, you'll find out if people start calling up and saying, oh, Marvin sent us.
I hope they do.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and end off. We're a little bit over the time frame. Surprise, surprise. And
I talk a lot.
If you want to get more information, just head over to domotes.com, D-O-M-O-T-Z. And I'll have a link, obviously, in the show notes that you can do that. I'll have a link, as I said, to the Amazon page where you can go ahead and purchase, get one, do the trial. And I think you will be amazed. And if you're not, don't blame me. All right, JB, I'm going to go and figure out why my lighting was so bad here. And
4 p.m. in Florida.
Yeah. Should have been raining about this time, but it's nice and sunny. And our temperature was back to normal, 80 degrees.
Wow. Wow, very nice.
And you're out west. Is it still snowing out there?
So today is a beautiful day, but it was snowing on Monday.
Okay.
So, yeah. Changes every minute, it seems like here.
It does. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. If you watch live or if you're listening to the podcast, thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. And if you have any questions or comments about what we discussed today, be sure to send me an email, Marvin@podnuts.com. If any of you are already using the Domotes boxes or have installed the agent and you have some things that we did not discuss that you think are great features that you want to let me know about and I can report it to the listeners, send that in to me. Again, marvin@podnuts.com. And we'll be back very soon with another live podcast. But of course, we'll be back with the regular audio podcast next week. And until next time, holla.